Well, it is good to see you all here this morning. Didn't know who we were going to have today. It's kind of like yesterday. You know, when service started, there were maybe like 6 or 8 people here. Yesterday when we had the wedding at 9:45, I didn't even have the bridal party, the wedding party. It was an interesting service. From the pastor's standpoint, I'm going, But yeah, we got going a little late. At 3:50, which is exactly at 3 o'clock, according to Liberian time, apparently. But which is a lot faster than what some were thinking it was going to be. So we had a good service yesterday. It was a good group that was here for that. And we have some real praises with Vicky and Stanford getting married for the second time. Don't tell everybody. We got married this last fall, but we had the big wedding here yesterday. And now, you know, today we're celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day. We're celebrating communion, if you would, Independence Day from sin. And we had the wedding yesterday, celebrating unity, what God brings us all together, particularly as husband and wife. In the last 2 weeks, or 3 weeks now, I've had 2 weddings, so I'm kind of taking a break now. Done with weddings for at least a little while. But we're never done. We're never done remembering what God has done for us. We're never done seeking to follow Him. We're going to read Isaiah, the last section of the first chapter. And as we read this, remember that this is a cry from God to us, to His people. A call to be faithful. A call telling them that there is a price to be paid for disobedience, but that there is a blessing, and that there is a promise, and that there is hope. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Start with the 21st verse. To read, it says, "See how the faithful city has become a harlot. She once was full of justice. Righteousness used to dwell in her. But now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They all love bribes. And they chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord, the Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel declares, Aha! I will get relief from my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. I will restore your judges as in days of old. Your counselors will be as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, her penitent ones with righteousness. But rebels and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you once delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. The mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire." Let's pray. Father, As we read your word this morning, it's frightening. But it is also full of hope. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. Lord, might we not just read your word and say, that's for some other time or some other place. Instead, Lord, might we read your word and see what you are saying to us this day. Each and every one of us. Lord, your word is new and fresh every morning. Yet it is always the same. Father, send your Holy Spirit now to minister to us, to guide and direct us, that we might see your hand at work, that we might know the path that you would have us to walk, that we might follow Jesus, our Lord. Lord, that we might best be the redeemed, the righteous. That we might best be your people. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that I might speak your word in power and in truth, and your people here, and everyone who hears this message would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled today, Zion Will Be Redeemed. Who's Zion? What is Zion? If you look at today's dictionary, or you look at the way of use today, it seems to be, you know, Zionists are evil, or maybe in one, from one camp, or, you know, you're really not sure what's going on. Who's good, who's bad? Zion's supposed to be good as far as I can read in the Bible, but I hear some things that say Zionism is bad, or this or that, or Zionism is good. Let's ignore all that. Let's look at what the Scripture is saying here. Who and what is Zion? Zion, originally, is the city, that place of hilltop fortress that David captured. Because God said, there is where I want my people to dwell, where I want to put the temple. Wanted this place of protection to build the temple and for his people to dwell. Zion, here and elsewhere in Scripture, refers to the city that was built there. It also refers to the people, the nation, and it refers to the future. Zion is that heavenly city that is coming in Revelation. Zion is that place where God wishes to dwell, where God dwells. He dwells in his nation, in his people. He dwells in the city of Zion. And he says, Zion will be redeemed. What does that mean? If Zion is this place where God dwells, where God lives, why does it need to be redeemed? It needs to be redeemed because it fell away. Even though God was present, the people of Israel, the people of Zion, they fell away. They fell into sin of various types. Here in the first part that we're reading, what we see is, see how the faithful city has become a harlot. She once was full of justice. Righteousness used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Okay, you get the idea. The city that was once faithful is no longer faithful. Harlot is the exact opposite of faithful. Unfaithful and not even discerning. A harlot goes wherever, has no sense of faithfulness whatsoever. And this is the very people of God. See, God sees the relationship of us as a marriage. Those who are His are meant to be with Him and not others. And to worship is to engage in infidelity, to worship anyone other than God is infidelity. The rulers of the city, who was once full of justice, they've now become the exact opposite of justice. They're now murderers. They're now, instead of being pure silver, they're now the dross, the stuff that is removed to purify it, the stuff which is the waste products, the junk. That is indeed what has been taken aside. And that is now what the rulers of Zion, the faithful city, have become. Dross, thieves, lovers of bribes, rebels. Oh, I like to be a rebel. I'm kind of a rebellious type. No, we're not talking that. We're talking about somebody who is in rebellion. God identifies sin as being in rebellion with Him. Not following Him. To be in rebellion. This is not what the leaders, the ones who are supposed to be leading. They're in rebellion against their God. General Petraeus is now in command in Afghanistan because the previous general, well, he was unwise and he said some things that he shouldn't have in the hearing of people that he shouldn't have. He ended up turning his resignation. He knew he did wrong. And he had to be removed from the chain of command. The rulers, those who are in authority, who are in rebellion, those who are doing wrong, will be removed, is what we're being told here. Zion will be redeemed with justice, her penitent ones with righteousness. But rebels and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. Those who are acting in this manner will face judgment. But again, there is hope. For we see that the penitent ones. They'll be redeemed with righteousness. Whose righteousness? Well, the righteousness of Christ. We don't know that as we read this, but we have the whole of God's revelation, the whole of Scripture. And we have the privilege of looking back and seeing that is the righteousness of Christ, which is spoken of in later chapters here in Isaiah and are prophesied. That is through His righteousness. And it's His righteousness that covers over our unrighteousness. It's by His righteousness we are redeemed. Who can do this? Well, the Lord. The Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel. That's who's doing this. Now, I had said earlier, as I described, or a couple weeks ago, as I described about the book of Isaiah, that the Holy One of Israel is one of the key phrases. Now, here we have this identification of the Lord as the Lord. Okay, that should be enough. The one in charge. But no, it's the Lord Almighty, the Lord who has all power and authority. The Mighty One of Israel. Not only does He have all power, but like it like renders this not just all power, but He is the personification of power. He is power. He is the Mighty One of Israel. Just as He is the personification of holiness, the Holy One of Israel. Here we have the Mighty One of Israel. He says, I will get relief from my foes. We don't want to be numbered as His foes. But remember, He is talking about the people of Zion here, His own people, the people of Israel, the children of the promise. He's not talking in this prophecy about some other country, some people who never heard of Him before. He said, I will get relief from my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. Oh, you. That's you and I. Anyone who's in rebellion against God is here. And I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. See, those who have come in leadership are were dross and impure oil. Impure wine. He's going to remove that which is impure. That which is not supposed to be there. And He will restore the way things used to be. He will restore those who are true followers of Him to leadership. This is the city of Zion, where God resides. Now we, as Christians, can be said to be the personification of the city of Zion in one sense, as God resides within us through the Holy Spirit. But then the question is, remember, the challenge to us here today is, see how the faithful city has become a harlot. Have we become harlots? This is a call for self-examination on our part. Who's leading my life? Am I following God, or am I allowing something else to lead and be in charge? Am I chasing after bribes? Do I want to be a companion of thieves? Have I become a murderer? Remember, thought, word, or deed. See, what we're called to do is to defend the cause of the fatherless, the widow's case. We're supposed to take up. See, those who are less fortunate than ourselves, those who are in predicaments that are more grievous than our own, we are supposed to come to their aid. I'll tell you what, it was a real blessing last week. We had Bobby Zena here, who is the brother of Ishmael Zena, and Ishmael was 5 weeks ago shot in the head here in Brooklyn Center. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was sitting in the back seat of a car. Somebody came outside, shot him from outside the car. He'd come up for a soccer tournament. He'd played in the tournament, was at the after-tournament party in the parking lot. Somebody shot him right in the back of the head. The police did not think he would live. But they got him to the hospital. And not only was it reported that he lived, but he's now talking and able to engage in conversation. This week, they took out his trach tube and took out his feeding tube. He can eat. This is a miracle. Now, he is paralyzed on the right side as of yet. He can move his left arm. Left leg is spasms. But this is 5 days since the injury. This is a miracle. And Bobby was here, his brother. You know where Bobby had been staying for the 4 weeks before he was here? In his brother's room with him. He was there every day with his brother. You know who had come to visit him and to care for him, to help him? Nobody. I am so glad that one of the detectives told me that he was there. Told me, said, do you know anybody who could possibly go? I said, yeah. So I grabbed Thomas, and the two of us, we went up there, and we prayed with him, and we invited him to come to church. And you know what? He came to church last Sunday, and he was here, and he was blessed. And John, led of the Spirit, just said, you know, Pastor, I think we need to take an offering. And, you know, some of you might have looked at me and said, well, you looked a little dumbstruck. Well, yeah, because I didn't have any money in my pocket. I'm going, well, I got nothing to put in. Like, okay, Lord. So we took the offering. And, you know, we blessed him. It wasn't that he didn't have any means. He's fully employed. He's still getting his paycheck. They give him time off for family. Did he absolutely have to have our money? No. Did it help? Yeah, because there's a whole lot of added expenses. There's a whole lot of extra stuff. Not only that, and I think even more to the point, is we had members of our church who were giving him rides, who picked him up, brought him home so that he could take a shower, offered him a place to stay. No, no, no. I'm going to stay with my brother. Didn't want to be gone more than a couple hours. Came here for Bible study on Wednesday. Friday, they were scheduled to go back to Kansas City. Actually, his brother is going to be staying at a traumatic brain injury rehab in Mount Vernon, Missouri. But Bobby lives on the north side of Kansas City. That is what the church is supposed to be doing. We did it last week. And I say, amen, hallelujah. That was good. Good church. This is what we're supposed to be doing. But you know what? It's not good enough to say, okay, we did it. Well, we're done. Don't have to do that for another year. Wrong. We're supposed to be doing this with whoever we run across in our life on a day-to-day basis. This is the way we are to live our lives. This is the call that we have here in this passage, is we're to examine ourselves. Are we doing this? See, the problem is that the people here aren't doing the stuff that they're supposed to. The very people of Zion aren't following God. They're not taking up the cause of those who are less fortunate than themselves. They're not worshiping just God. No. Some of them are worshiping trees. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks. Now, I like a good tree as much as the next guy. But I'm not going to worship one. But apparently there's, if you haven't noticed, there are people out here who do worship nature and that which is created. We should indeed wonder at God's glorious creation. But it's not to be worshipped. I had the heart-rending issue of being at my wife's grandmother's funeral on Monday. And as Lucille's body was in the casket at the graveside, this pastor who had also presented Christ as Lord was now talking about how her body would be received and cared for by Mother Earth. I'm going, what? And he went on. Syncretism. It's worshiping not just God, but other things too. That's being unfaithful. People, we need to be on guard that we don't fall into this trap. Because God will indeed redeem. He said Zion will be redeemed with justice. I don't know about you, but I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want grace. If I get what I deserve, I'm going to be in trouble. I don't want justice. Says, but the penitent ones with righteousness. Okay, penitent. Yeah, I like that idea. What's that mean? Penitent, penitent. Is there a word that's similar to that? Repent. Penitent one is someone who's coming to God, seeking those who have come back to Him. Repenting is to turn from sin and to turn towards God. Well, penitent ones will be redeemed with righteousness. That's what we're being told here. And I want to be one redeemed with the righteousness of Christ. Oh, hey, I have. Yeah, I have, as long as Jesus is indeed my true Lord and Savior. Make sure our salvation is what we're told elsewhere in Scripture. But let's remember, it's not our works that get us saved. So we see here the mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. See, I can't get good enough to get right with God. It's not by my works. But Pastor, didn't you say that we're supposed to be just taking care of the fatherless, the homeless, those who are less fortunate than ourselves, that we're supposed to be worshiping only God, that we're supposed to be seeking to follow Him and do the right thing? Yeah. But we don't do that because working it will earn us something. We do it out of faithfulness to God. Faithfulness. Not harlotry. We do it because we are not rebels. We do it because we are followers of Christ. So we don't want our works to be that which destroys us. See, that's what we see here is the mighty man, those who put their trust in their own strength. Their works, that becomes the very thing of their destruction. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, I turn there very quickly. says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It was their very works that proved their undoing. That was the spark that consumed them. They became more concerned with the work than they were with who they were working for. This is what we need to be looking at here. As we examine our lives as individuals and as a church, what are we doing? How are we living? Because we will be held accountable. God will redeem His people. And if you're not His people, heaven help you. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to truly be yours, to be the people of Zion, to be those people who live where you are. Lord, might we live in your presence, that you live within us. And Lord, might we be faithful to you and follow your directives and your leading each and every day. Lord, might we put our trust in your strength and not our own. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're going to sing, He is Lord.